You're listening to the Cinemaniacs. Is this a real episode number or just a special edition?
76.
Actually, half of that. 38. That's very good.
That's pretty good.
Actually, it's not 38.
What is it?
39.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, this is an episode.
You're using that fuzzy math.
Right. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheeks. Hello, everybody. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Yo.
To my right is my beautiful John.
Your beautiful John.
And you're listening to the Cinemaniacs, a weekly podcast. We talk about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose.
I guess this is a whatever else we choose episode, huh?
That's right. This time around, we'll be talking about our favorite baseball movies in lieu of the World Series, because right now the Phillies are winning 3-0.
Oh, is that the score? 3-0?
I don't know.
No, the series is 2-1 Philadelphia.
Oh,
2-1. I think even the score of today's game, because there's currently a game going on right this minute. Game 4 is being played.
Okay, so the Phillies are two games to one. Right. Okay. And then right now they're playing. I think the score is 2-1.
Who?
Right now. Phillies.
Phillies?
Top of the fourth.
2-1 in the game and 2-1 in the series.
Come on, Rays.
Lord, no. Okay. If the Phillies win tonight and tomorrow, it's over.
Yay. Yeah. Well, they don't play tomorrow, but you're right.
Or maybe.
Well, see, that's
now
why
they're stretching it out even longer.
Well, because it's Monday Night Football.
That's why I thought it was 3-0, because I heard you, Jeff, talking to people earlier today that said it was going to be over.
No.
I thought they just need to win one.
No. What I was saying is, I want, you know, whoever wins the first one, I always want them to sweep, because then it's over.
Right. Now, that's why, John, we welcome you back. John's been on a few episodes, not often enough, but he is a big baseball fan. So we had him in here because Jeff and I don't care a lot about baseball. But we care about movies, and I think we've seen some good movies.
We've seen some good baseball movies. So, yeah, absolutely.
So the way we do it is we try to get a top three. Do we have a top three?
Yeah.
I have a top 10.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so John very quickly is going to go through his 10 through 4 spots.
Yeah, 10 to 4. And then
we'll get to our top three as a group.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are going to hate my 10 through 4.
Well, that's why we're knocking them out.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's why you're just going to go, and we're probably not even going to let you comment on them. We're just going to have you read it.
Now, here's important. What we didn't set up really any guidelines for the baseball movies. So it could have a baseball. Like, I went to IMDb.com to try to find some movies, and they had Good Will Hunting listed as baseball as one of its genres.
Stupid.
I don't remember anything about baseball in there, but I think somebody in the movie, like, they're walking around
baseball?
The office. Picked up a baseball off the shelf.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And some baseball and what's his name's office? Yeah, Robert Williams. Or Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah, no, and Robin Williams had, like, baseball tickets, and he talked about
the World Series game.
They talked about a World Series game? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
He missed the game because he met his wife in the bar
and
skipped the game.
So that movie would not qualify.
Although that would be number one if it was a baseball movie.
Yeah, that would pretty much put everything on, any of these lists.
We would not even lean a list.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
If there was a game being played in that movie, it would be a baseball movie.
That's right.
I think so, yeah.
But then there's other movies like My Blue Heaven. Well, that movie has a lot of Little League baseball stuff in there.
No, it has.
But it wouldn't qualify
in
this category.
Right.
Two little kids raising money for a baseball
movie.
What's
number 10 on your
list
there, John?
The Sandlot.
The Sandlot.
Which
I think is
on the top of one of your guys' lists.
So, there you go. Sandlot. In fact, the kids were in here earlier, the Cineminis. And I was talking to them about baseball movies, and my youngest, 8-year-old Michael, he said The Sandlot. He remembered it. And
very,
then Daniel told
movie.
A story about the kids run away from the big dog trying to get their ball back. Great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Haven't seen Sandlot 2 yet.
It was bad.
Okay.
Made me not like the first one as much.
Number 9.
Number 9 is The Scout with Brendan Fraser and Albert Brooks.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, very
good. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
It was very dramatic. Which was weird.
I hadn't seen it. I did the other one.
Well, yeah, elements of comedy and drama.
Yeah. Well, Albert Brooks, you know, it's going to be funny and quirky. Yeah. But then Fraser was kind of a very strange character, but it was great.
The Scout. Okay.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I remember that.
Number 8, The Rookie.
The Rookie.
That's
great movie.
Yeah, very good movie.
With Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, Quaid was really good. Number 7, A League of Their Own with Tom Hanks and whatever that lady's name is, Madonna and the other one.
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis, thank you. I was thinking Gina Gershon. I was like, that's not right. That's not her.
Now we're kind of rushing through your bottom of your top 10 there. Otherwise, we'd be commenting more.
Number 6, Fever Pitch, which was very good. Not totally a baseball movie, but the character.
And John's a Yankee fan.
That's
so
true.
It hurts him to say that.
World's biggest Yankee fan, and that was a great movie. Jimmy Fallon was awesome. Jimmy Fallon basically played me in the movie and did a good job.
As a Red Sox fan, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I didn't know you're a closet Red Sox fan.
No. Number five, The Natural.
Oh, you're not? You're out of the closet?
No.
not in that way.
Yeah. Number five, The Natural.
Natural, very, very Robert good. Redford?
I just saw it recently, actually.
For the first time?
Since I was a kid, so yeah, pretty much.
I just saw it within the last year or two myself.
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
And very, it was very, very decent. Good. It was a little dark, but decent.
Yeah, actually very dark.
Yeah.
Considering, I didn't even know that much about it, except for he was a baseball hero. But, number four, Bull Durham, which surprisingly did not make my top three, which because it's a great, great movie. Very funny.
Not knowing what's on Jeff's list over here, I'm sorry to hear that Bull Durham is so highly on your list. I'm glad it didn't make your top three, which is the big move. But Bull Durham, our brother Pete talked about that movie up and down, and I watched it, and I just don't get it.
Pete builds things up too much, and this is not the first time he's done that to you.
He gets overly excited about things.
Bull Durham should have been a great movie, which you got Kevin Costner,
Tim
Robbins, and Susan Sarandon. This is the makings of a great movie. I just
there are so many things in that movie that are classic lines that'll live on forever. Baseball infamy.
Name one.
He hit the ball in right field. He hit that thing like he knew it was coming. How do you know it was coming? Oh, I told him.
Great. I use that every other day. Jeff?
I said, in baseball infamy. Pay attention.
Okay. You know what a line I heard today multiple times? Watching football, because the NFL is also going on. I don't know if you knew that. Move the chains. Instead of saying first down, they were saying move the chains. Move the chains.
Mm-hmm. Move do you know what the chains are?
Yeah, of course. Okay. It's for the first down markers.
Oh, of course.
That's how I knew he was talking about a first down. I knew right away, but I just didn't know he was saying that instead of saying they got a first down.
Mm. You know a phrase they use too much in football? Plethora. They use that word all the time incorrectly.
I've never heard them use it.
They use
it me neither.
All the time. Every game, one of the announcers says, oh, there's a plethora of flags on the field.
What?
Every time. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Look for it. I guarantee you see it every minute.
What's the definition of plethora?
Ubiquitous. Everywhere. All over.
So the flags are plethora would be better?
I don't even know how you would use it in that way.
Well, you said everywhere.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it means. Just saying there's a plethora of flags on the field.
There's a everywhere of flags. But if the flags are plethora...
Yeah, I guess so.
The only thing I know about plethora is I remember that line in that whole scene in Three Amigos.
Which scene?
You got El Guapo and his little sidekick Jefe walks up and he's like, "Oh, you have a lot of you have a lot of something." And he goes, "Oh, Jefe, would you say I have a plethora of something?"
That's right.
Yes, definitely. You would have a plethora.
Do
you even know what a plethora is, Jefe? And he's like, "Oh no! Well, then how can you say I have a plethora?" You know? And he goes, "Yeah." So, yeah, that's my experience with that word.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Top
good
three.
Movies, John. I think you listed a lot of great movies there. And now we'll move over to Jeff for his number three of his favorite three baseball movies.
Major League. Had a lot of fun. That's just a fun movie, you know.
That movie is awesome in so many ways.
It really is.
That movie, I could watch that movie over and over.
That movie can almost make me watch a baseball game. Almost, because nothing nearly that fun happens in the real baseball game.
They make baseball fun.
They really, yeah. That's
I know Charlie Sheen is in it. I think one time I watched it, like out of the corner of my eye, and I just didn't get it.
You need to watch it again.
Pete, and I'm sorry he couldn't make it here tonight. Of course, Pete's been on the show several times. Well, it's like you two can't get together.
I know.
Podcast room. Unfortunately, some people work
thing,
for a
considering.
Living. But Major League, he told me again. He told me funny movie and whatever. And I didn't get it again. He said I didn't get it because I'm not a baseball fan. If you're a baseball fan, then you get it.
Just
not
a baseball fan.
I'm not a baseball fan, and I got it. It's great. Yeah. Well, this is baseball movies. This isn't like top three movies. It's,
right. You know, no, I'm saying
but that. It's still – no. It's a fun movie.
That movie is great.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
So Charlie Sheen, who else?
Tom Berenger.
Wesley Snipes. Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, Willie Mays Hayes. That was great.
Willie Mays Hayes' character is – probably the funniest character in the whole show. It also has that humongous black dude from Allstate commercials. I can't remember his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the president in 24.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
He's great.
He's awesome.
He played this voodoo.
He's got that new show, The Unit, too. He's really great. I'm really mad that I don't know his name because I'm actually a fan.
He is great. I mean, we had a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. A lot of actors.
Corbin Burnson.
Corbin Burnson, that's right.
Yeah.
A lot of good people. And Charlie Sheen did not have... He had a big role, but like, he wasn't the main star.
Oh, he
the main star was Tom Berenger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he was great.
Oh, Rene Russo was in it, too. Was Rene Russo?
Not in one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was an ex. That's right. I was thinking of Charlie Sheen's girlfriend. No,
right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if your number two movie was Major League 2?
No.
That movie was not anywhere near as good.
Then you'd need to check me for a brain tumor.
What's his name? I know he's called Serrano in the movie.
Like Serrano de Bergerac?
No, Serrano.
See, my problem is I want to call him David Palmer because that was his character in 24.
Corbin Burnson?
No,
Serrano, the black dude.
Bob Uecker?
No.
But Bob Uecker was hilarious
awesome
in
that.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
James Gammon? Charles Cyphers?
No.
Dennis Haysbert?
Yes,
Dennis Haysbert. Damn.
Dennis Haysbert. Really he was upset. Great.
Yeah, Dennis Haysbert was awesome.
Don't fuck with Joe Boo. Well, you have to watch Major League again. Don't listen to Pete. Ever listen to Pete. Ever. Ever.
That is a fun movie. Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. I'd say give it a second chance.
Okay.
Yep.
My number three or John's number three?
Let's go with John's number three.
Okay.
John's number
three is 61. It was made by Billy Crystal, starring Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane, playing Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
And it's 61 with an asterisk.
Yes. 61 star regarding 1961 season where Mickey Mantle hit 56 home runs, and Roger Maris broke the all-time home run record of Babe Ruth, hitting 61 home runs. And it was fantastic.
What's the asterisk for?
When Babe Ruth hit his 60, he had 154 games to play in. And since, 1930, they played 162 games, which is what they play now. So he had 8 more games to hit the home runs in. So at the time, the commissioner, I think it was Faye Vincent or somebody? No, it was longer than that. Anyways, the commissioner wanted to put an asterisk in the records book. And,
to not take away from Babe Ruth.
Exactly, right. Because Babe Ruth, of course, is the most hallowed player ever. And eventually they didn't do it, but there was a big, big ruckus. No one wanted Roger Maris to break the record because, again, everyone loved Babe Ruth. No one knew who Roger Maris was, just some hick from Kansas City.
Right.
And he only played for the Yankees at the time, this was only his first year, actually. Or second year at the Yankees.
He hit 61 home runs in 1961?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that record stood until Mark McGwire broke it?
Until 1998.
And
McGwire hit 70.
70.
2001, Barry Bonds hit 73.
Now, do those guys have asterisks?
No.
Okay. Barry does,
but not in reality.
Yeah,
they both do, but not in reality.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about in reality because I know there's been talk about one or the other having an asterisk.
There was a lot of talk
Bonds.
About Barry, yeah.
Bonds is
absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, they would never do that. Because
and now they're talking about an asterisk because Barry Bonds has been found guilty of using steroids?
No, he's never been found guilty. But there's a whole lot of substantial evidence, a lot of testimony. But no, he's never actually tested positive. Neither has Mark McGwire, even though there's a lot of...
But Mark McGwire had admitted to using, andro...
Which was not illegal.
Sendione, right.
Yeah, androsterone or something, which is not illegal. And not a steroid, either.
Right, no, it's a
creatine.
Precursor.
Right, it's more like creatine, supposed muscle builder protein supplement.
When the little bit of bodybuilding I was doing, they were talking about DHEA, and then androstendione, and then... steroids would come after that. It's like a precursor to that.
Yeah.
Your body just has to add one thing to make it.
Yeah. The only reason they know about that, I mean, it's because who's Mark McGwire hit 70 home runs, but every player in every professional sport takes, 20 supplements a day. There's not one that doesn't take a million pills every day.
Right.
So it's kind of silly that, this guy's taking this, but everyone else is taking it too.
So 61.
Yeah. 1961.
My third one.
Great, great movie.
My third one, and we brushed past it before, but was The Rookie. With Dennis Quaid, and not a lot of baseball movies out there that I've loved, but that was one that was just through and through good and good. And good feeling. From you've seen it, Jeff?
No, I've never.
Disney made it.
Yeah.
Which is probably the good feeling that you've felt.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy who starts off. I guess he used to play back in high school a little bit, and family life came
dominant
along.
Dominant college player.
But family life came calling, and he went that route rather than concentrate on it.
He faked an injury to marry his wife and stay with the kids. Told his wife he hurt his knee, but he really didn't. Or his shoulder, I think. Yeah.
But it was really cool because right in the beginning of the movie, when he throws a ball, he throws it at a speed limit sign. And it clocks at like 80-something miles an hour, something, which is, I guess, pretty fast.
No, it clocked it at 90-something, didn't it?
I don't know. It was fast, but it was a speed limit sign that he used to clock it.
The electronic one's a radar.
Oh, yeah.
Not a 55. It was a radar.
Right. That's, I'm sorry.
A radar gun, you mean.
But the, it shows, you know,
they
shows
didn't have a radar gun.
Oh, your speed. Oh, yeah. Those.
You know how they
those,
set them up on the side of the road to let you know you're going too fast?
Going too, okay.
So and he threw the ball at that.
Threw the ball at that. I gotcha.
Okay. And so maybe the first one he threw was 80, and then he did it again to get the
90. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. He threw it harder. And then his kids were like, you should, or his high school team he was coaching said, you can go try out for, you know, the Devil Rays and things like that. And he went. Of course, he's like 40 years old, and so everyone's giving him crap.
Right, right.
But it was cool because he was telling the kids that, you know, do your best and do whatever. And they're like, hey, you're not doing it, you know. So
if they win the championship, he would go try out, and they did. So he had to.
Ah. So.
Great movie.
It's a good movie.
Definitely watch it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Dennis Quaid fan. I think he's great. So and it's just one of those ones that kind of just, you know, it saw it. I mean, you know, was aware of it, but. You know, it just kind of falls by the wayside. There's, you know, other movies that may have been.
Did you see the movie Frequency, also with Dennis Quaid?
Yes.
And great. That was a good movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's along
amazing
those same lines.
Movie.
And I have no problem with feel-good movies or anything like that. It's just one of those ones that slipped through the cracks.
Yeah. Actually, Frequency showed up on IMDb's baseball list, too.
Really?
Because they had broadcasted the baseball game during their little communications or whatever. Or they talked about a baseball game that was going on 30 years ago or whatever.
Okay.
That
Jeff,
list is silly.
Number two list.
Number two, A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. Also my number two.
All right.
John,
love this
John
movie.
Had it already on his list.
I had it down around seven, but I really think I should move it up. That was a great
I
movie.
Loved that. I mean,
Tom Hanks. Unbelievable.
Gina Davis.
Madonna. Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Lori Petty.
Tank
everybody.
Girl, yeah.
Everybody.
John music. Lovitz.
Not. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, Lovitz. Oh. Lovitz.
Directed by
mind.
Laverne. Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall.
Oh, man.
Not a bad performance. Just a fun movie
and
all the way through.
Perhaps most important, it's about girl baseball.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which is amazing.
You know?
It was so good.
In fact, our earlier podcast, when Pete was on there, he was quoting that movie. He says, there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah.
There's no crying in baseball.
One of the most famous quotes ever.
It's one of the funniest lines in the whole damn movie. She's crying, sir. You know? Awesome.
Use your head. It's that lump 3 feet above your ass.
Yeah. Wonderful. almost a perfect movie.
Touching, heartwarming, fun, action. I mean, I'm not a
hilarious
baseball fan, but if you like baseball, I think you would like this movie because there's
baseball
going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
And
based on a true story.
Yeah.
Small ball, too. It wasn't, you know, a bunch of home runs. It was
you had
ball,
everything. You had
singles,
the
bunts. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. Stolen bases.
I don't know what that means.
Small ball, meaning you do the little things. You don't just hit home runs all the time. Like major leagues, you know, it's all about home runs, basically.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. The last, 10 years, yeah.
How come?
Because everyone's hitting home runs a lot.
So everybody's hitting harder.
Yeah.
But I wonder why.
Yeah. So, but a lot of teams that don't hit a lot of home runs, they do really well. Like the Angels, the Rays didn't hit a lot of home runs, and they're in the World Series.
Very good.
Yeah. Fun movie.
My number two, we already did, Major League, which was we talked about being a great, great movie. That was my number two.
All right.
Oh, that was your number two?
That was his number two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Major League. Enough said.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Now, as we go into number one, it's 5-1. The Phillies are winning.
Oh, come on, Rays.
Bottom of the fourth.
Jeez.
Oof.
Come on, Rays.
That's three runs they scored.
Played so well all postseason.
Jeff, your favorite baseball movie of all time?
There's one he mentioned pretty low in there, which is kind of strange, but The Sandlot.
The Sandlot is number one.
No, right. Sandlot,
high five.
Yours too?
No, but
no,
it's
awesome.
Movie.
I love that movie.
I think
movie.
It would have been four or five for me.
I love that movie. I don't think there's ever been a movie to capture the pure joy of kids playing. You know, baseball's fun to play. I can't stand watching or anything like that. But I remember playing it as a kid and having a good time, but not enough of a good time to sit and watch the stuff. But, you know, with friends and everything like that, I mean, just.
Now,
pure,
any of those,
unadulterated goodness and fun.
Any of those kids grow up to be famous? Did you can recognize?
Not one.
I can't
looked them all
recall
up.
Any
no,
of them.
Although the what was his name? The fast kid, the best player. He was in something, but no, none of them did anything.
Okay.
Although there was a very famous person in that movie.
James Earl Jones was the next
one.
There was two famous.
Dennis Leary was in it.
Karen Allen.
Karen Allen was in it as the mom.
Who's Karen Allen?
She's a girlfriend in Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones 2. Three, four,
four.
The last one
four.
That came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to know her for. I don't know anything else.
She's right. Also in Animal House. A small part. But yes.
Her career picked up after that.
Yeah. But.
That's what I said. You said big stars. I'm thinking, you know, big star. James Earl Jones, a huge
Karen
star.
Karen Allen was in Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls. Okay. Those are two very big movies. True. And she was, like, second billing character in those movies. So,
yeah.
All right.
It's pretty significant.
Yeah.
It's like Jeff Goldblum, been in a lot of things, but he was in Independence Day, Jurassic Park 1, and Jurassic Park 3. Huge, or 2, rather.
Yeah.
Huge movies, you know, that he can say he was one of the top stars in those movies. Mm-hmm. You know?
So. Yeah, and I'll tell you, and while with The Sandlot, while the central theme was baseball, all of the little side stories were so much fun. Right. You know, the public swimming pool thing, you know, the kid diving into the deep end to steal the kiss. I mean, that's awesome. Just so many really cool stories going on in that one movie.
I don't remember. I never saw it when I was a kid. But I saw it a few years ago. I mentioned how I showed it to the kids, and they remembered it. So it's significant. We need to see number 2, though. How bad is it?
It's really bad.
I think they might have done a third one.
They did do a third one.
I think so, too. Wow. It's just
even
like,
worse.
It's, yeah, it's awful that they would do that.
So bad.
Sell out such a... I mean, they made such a pure, loving movie that first time, you know? You know they told this story just for the love of telling this story, and then to go and... try and sell it out with a couple of direct to DVD releases. You know, it's a lot of
movies like The Crow, which was one of my favorite movies of all time when I was younger. They made like 2 and 3. It was the same movie. It was the exact same movie, but
well, to be sure, there's the Crow was a comic book.
It was a comic book.
Okay,
so there might have been other
stories. They had several sequels to the comic
book.
Part 1
was like a cult hit, and so they tried to just cash in off of it, making these shitty movies. What? And then there was. There's been a lot of movies like that lately. They just
James O'Barr was the writer of the Crow comic book writer, and you know, so I wonder how much input he had into the movies.
Right?
Maybe they were based on his stories.
There's the same story.
I know, but the comic book can have sequels. It doesn't mean it's original.
Like the Hulk.
What do you mean the Hulk?
Well, the new Hulk with Edward Norton was about the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Same story, but different.
That's a different story. I mean, the Hulk is, most of the comic books are about the military chasing the Hulk. Mm. So how much different variations?
Right.
It's the subplots. Like most superheroes, the subplots is what's going to drive the story.
I was supporting your point that different movie, but still different. Or same movie, still different.
Okay. You want to go?
My number one is The Pride of the Yankees, about Lou Gehrig, starring Gary Cooper. Amazing movie.
What year did that come out?
1960 or 50, something like that.
Really?
Something like, it was a long time ago.
No, I thought it was very long. I thought it was like 40, the 40s.
Yeah, it actually was the 40. Oh, 43 maybe.
Yeah, because you...
Great. It's in black and white. One of the very, very few movies I've ever seen in black and white. And it was awesome. Seen that, Jeff?
Yeah.
So good.
42.
That movie... 42, okay. I was very close. That movie made me cry. Yeah. Not many movies make me cry. That made me cry. Nice. That movie was so good. Gary Cooper is the identical twin... of Lou Gehrig, looks just like him and acted just like him, and it was amazing.
I saw it and enjoyed it. You seen it, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a very good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Very good movie. Number one, your favorite movie of all
time? Number one. That movie is so good. It's not funny at all. Well, actually, it is kind of funny because Lou Gehrig or Gary Cooper is, he's very different. Quiet guy, but very playful when he's around his family. His mom is hilarious, overbearing Polish mother, and his wife that he married, you know, they're a perfect match, and they played around a lot. It was great. Of course, very dramatic, too.
Did he get his disease in that movie?
Yeah. It's about the story of Lou Gehrig.
No, I saw it. I don't remember if that's how it ended, with him just getting... Because I don't remember him being sick in the movie.
Yeah, he was sick at the very end.
Yeah.
Well, he actually wasn't sick. His skills diminished. He started playing like crap. And some people turned on him, but then he gave his famous speech at July 4th, 1929, I think, maybe something like that. Gave his famous speech, and then he was done. He retired and died like a year or two later.
Wow. Ironically, from Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, I wonder who they named it after.
Yeah, come on, you had to see that coming.
And your number one, Walt?
I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. Fever Pitch. I saw that movie and it just blew me away. I mean, Drew Barrymore is going to be great in anything she does. And Jimmy Fallon, who Jeff loves.
Yes, I do. I would love to love Jimmy Fallon with like a crowbar.
Biblically.
But more importantly, directed by the Farrelly brothers. And this was right after Something About Mary.
which
right after
what?
Like 8 years after.
Okay, they did Providence in between there.
But I mean, it was I consider it for them to be their follow up movie.
Oh, okay, I thought there was like 8 years in between those two, but
I swear they did a few movies between those.
Really?
Yeah,
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I ignored that one.
Stuck on You?
First movie.
Wasn't that a Fairly Brothers movie?
Okay. So
might be a few. There's a lot of
the movie expert, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. The man that knows everything about every movie ever.
You're right. You all are right. Continue to laugh. Send your emails in.
Please hate mail down.
After There's Something About Mary, they did Me, Myself, and Irene, Osmosis Jones, Shallow Hal, three. Stuck on You.
Four. I named three, though. That's pretty good.
And then
you're the expert, but I named three of those movies that they did.
And that doesn't include where Providence fits in there.
You're supposed to know all these things.
Where is Providence at?
You're supposed to know this stuff. You're the expert here. I know who the Fairly Brothers are until you said There's Something About Mary, and I figured it must be those two guys that make those goofy movies about disgusting situations.
Yeah.
Stuck on You could have been so much better.
I liked it.
No, I didn't dislike it.
Oh, no, it could have been. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It could have been really great. But,
yeah.
No. Outside Providence was not a Fairly Brothers directed movie. They only wrote it.
Right.
Wow, you're on a roll.
Yeah. How about I say this? No, I can't even say that.
No, you're just.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say it after Something About Mary, it was their next great movie.
Nope.
But the fact that Osmosis Jones and Shallow Hal were great also.
Shallow Hal was great, great, great.
Dude, so was Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah, Irene, I thought it was great.
That was okay.
Awesome.
Dude, okay. That was original.
Yeah.
Original, yes, but from Something About Mary to Me, Myself, and Irene, that's like a sharp downturn.
Nah.
I don't know. I disagree.
No. However.
I disagree.
No, nope, steady.
Back to Fever Pitch. I mean, that movie was just so perfect. And it was kind of like a mellowing out for them. It wasn't all the gross out humor and things.
Yeah, it wasn't just anything like their
like a cool romantic comedy. And the baseball aspect of it, you know, because they had the Boston Red Sox, who's always lost. I mean, that was the big thing, that they never get into the World Series or certainly never win it. And they had to refilm the movie because they did actually get into the World Series that year. And so that was.
Faggots.
It was great. The love story and Jimmy Fallon. I know you say, Jeff, he can be irritating, but that movie, he was so like Taxi. The Taxi, they remade the Luc Besson movie Taxi.
Oh my God. And was that Queen Latifah?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And that is a Jimmy Fallon that I can understand is irritating and annoying.
God.
But the movie.
I actually watched that movie from start to
finish. I did too. And it had its moments that it could have been good. It was just okay. But enough that I want to see the original. It's not available for DVD here in America.
One star.
But
I hated that movie.
Speaking of when I said before that they based this character on me, when it's baseball season, I live in Las Vegas, so obviously I can't go to any baseball games, but Major League Baseball games. I get home. I order the MLB extra innings package, and I watch every single game, every single day, every season. So if I lived in New York or New Jersey or any of the tri-state area, I would probably have season tickets and go to every single game, just like Jimmy Fallon did. Not sit in the front row, I wish. But
okay.
And, I mean, everything I have, you know, is Yankees apparel, and everybody buys me Yankees things because they know I love it. Yeah. So that movie, obviously, you know, I liked it for many reasons, and one was because it was very, very similar to myself, how he acts and how he's obsessed, but at the end he kind of figures out there's bigger things in life, but still, that's still a very big part of his life, yeah. As it should be.
I was just thoroughly enjoying it, and I can say there's a Yankees fan sitting here, and there's a lot of Yankees fans across the country who took the chance, watched this movie, and it's a great movie. Put your personal feelings aside and just enjoy it.
I hated watching them win, but just laughing along with the whole story was great.
It was great.
And so, well, I'm sorry, one more thing. When they fight about, like, he has scheduling issues because, the Red Sox are in Tampa that night or something and they can't go to this dinner. That really happens to people like me. We can't do things when there's certain big games that come up. You have to actually schedule your schedule around the baseball game.
Well, now they have TiVo.
And now that I have a DVR, of course, it's gotten a lot better. This season was my first season with DVR. So I was able to do everything else with anybody I wanted to and still watch the games.
I tell you what, though, it's tough because, I mean, I'm a Chargers fan and I like to watch the games and I don't mind recording them at all. But
you have to avoid.
If you go to an event, like our family's all sports fans, so you go there and it's like, hey, sorry about the Chargers. Like, don't tell me anything!
Exactly.
You know, and they ruin the game for you. So
that's a constant struggle in my life.
So that's going to wrap up our favorite baseball movies. Now, is a very important, listeners, that these special edition is came out right at on the heels of another show. So I don't know how your podcatcher works. Mine, iTunes, it seems like it'll skip an episode. So check with it and download the episode that came out a couple of days before this one and make sure you get all the episodes. And be on the lookout because next week is our Halloween special edition where we're going to do our favorite scary movies. And it will
Saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got my list already.
You probably won't be here for that, so it's good we get it in now.
Oh,
man, fuck you.
So, you know, just keep an eye out for it because we're trying to get these episodes out fast and furious for you because I know you enjoy it. Send your emails to podcast@thecinemaniacs.com and go to thecinemaniacs.com, vote for our new poll, your movie you're most anxiously awaiting for in November. And with that, have a good night.
Go out and vote. Whoever you're voting for, go out and vote.
Very political ending. Thank you.
Well, early voting is so easy. You just go to the mall and vote.
TheCinemaniacs.com.
Yes.
The movie you're most looking forward to.
Now that's a voting I can get behind. All right.
Do your part.
That's right. Later.
Have a good night.
See you.
You're listening to the sentiment. Then we play a song that's related to baseball. Maybe take me out to the ball game or something.
What's it? John Fogerty, put me in coach. Yeah. Center field. Yeah.
Fuck, you guys are old. I don't know what that means.
What did you mean it old? Your song probably came out the year after you were born.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
well, no big deal.
Top 10 movies on a subject I could give a crap about.
Whee!
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And so when Cooney died at first and Burrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake. And the former was a no-good and the latter was a fake. So upon that stricken multitude grim melancholy sat. For there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all. And Blake the much despised tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had arisen and the men saw what had occurred, there was Blake a safe at second and Flynn a hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats went up a lusty yell. It rumbled in the valley, it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountain top and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was pride in Casey's bearing as he stepped into his place. There was ease in Casey's manner and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. And no stranger in the crowd could doubt. Twas a Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 10,000 hands applauded as he wiped them on his shirt. And when the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in laughter. A grandeur there, close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. That ain't my style, said Casey. Strike One, the umpire said. Then from the benches, Blackwood people went up a muffled roar, like the beaten storm waves on a stern and distant shore. Kill him! Kill the umpire! Cried someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher. Once more the steroid flew, but Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Hurrah!" cried the maddened thousands, and echo answered fraud. But one scornful look from Casey, and the multitude was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The smile is gone from Casey's face. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence. His bat's upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. Somewhere bands are playing. Somewhere hearts are light. Somewhere men are laughing. And somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.